Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And Nick, we're closing in on 500 episodes of Chicago Beer Pass.
Fuck you. Are you serious?
It was 490, the one I just posted. We have 491 where we talk about Lagunitas closing. And now this one.
I don't keep track of the number. I guess because it's not, is it, I don't think it's on the episode.
It's not on the episode, so like on the title, but.
It's not something I think about.
Every MP3 link has the number. So
I guess it's been a while, man, because I've been on this thing where I post all these old photos every morning. I drink coffee and look for old photos the story. But then it was at Loose Keys, and it was at
Bomb Camp,
and it was at and I was here at the current studio.
Well, what's funny is that I was thinking about this, the 500 episodes, Lagunitas closed. I think told you the idea. I was like, Nick, you should do this podcast where you talk about events preview party, the circus.
Not so soft grand opening, I think.
Right, the circus thing.
Yeah. Is that where it happened?
Yeah. So the podcast has now out.
Outlasted Lagunitas. Yeah. They could never figure shit out. I mean, we just kind of show up and drink.
We don't have to make money.
We don't have to figure shit out. We just, you know, hit the button and go. But yeah, when you frame it like that, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that seems like a whole different era ago. That was. The only thing the same from then and now is the weekly show. Like, for me, just like stuff that I do.
You know? Yeah, sure. Because at that time, and even those first couple of years, the amount of events were crazy. There are a lot of events now, but there's just, I don't know, people just kind of know about them, they go to them, they're less trying to get the buzz to come to this party,
I think
guess.
You've seen the peak of it. All the events that we first started talking about, I think you've seen that as big as those events are ever going to be. You know, whether it's a particular day or a bug or...
Or last weekend was Mayfestiversary. It's not going to get so big that they need four blocks. It's kind of fits their space.
Right sizing, I guess, is the term that brewers like to use. That's the term that Pizza Port / the Lost Abbey used when they got rid of all their canning lines and really shrunk. Downsizing. So, yeah.
And even Beer in a Glass, which we talked about the other episode ago, it reached its kind of like... It doesn't feel like there's that many people. They try to undersell the tickets, but then they also don't always sell those out. But it's kind of like a good balance of you want to be able to get what you can get and, you know, have a good time. So.
A big badass spring event is cool. I don't mind the relaxed, intimate version of these events, mainly because I've seen both sides. And I just kind of know. I don't mind the smaller ones necessarily, because everything. I think all 12 months is gonna be smaller.
Right. Exactly. And we even saw post pandemic stuff. The Lou Dog events. Like he was trying to blow those up bigger and bigger all the time and have.
So that's Naperville.
Naperville. There was like Westmont? So many of them. He was having a fest like every weekend or every other weekend.
And they were kind of, I think he did Beer Hoptacular for a second. I think he took over Beer Hop for a second.
Yeah.
Which was in the space right next to Lagunitas. I don't know if he's still doing them, but they all kind of felt homogenized. They kind of all felt like we're doing the same thing here.
Right.
And everybody's bringing their flagship. And I think you might have said it once, like, you know, you can go to Costco. Some of these parties, you can go to Costco and grab all this shit. and just say I'm doing a party.
Do your own thing.
And just do my own party.
Right.
Yeah. It has started to feel like that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been in years.
Yeah.
Probably like 5 years.
But anyway, I was just thinking about that as I was like uploading episodes. But we forgot to talk about what we're drinking, and that's usually what we how we start the show. So we've done almost 500 episodes. We messed up the formula here. Wow. We got Beer Hates Astronauts, not Beer Versus Astronauts, or Astronauts Versus whatever the Pipeworks versions of this.
Pipeworks, if it's Pipeworks, it's got something to do with unicorns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unicorns versus astronauts.
It could, yeah. That would be their, if they cooked up. It would be Unicorns versus Astronauts, yeah.
This is Beer Hates Astronauts from Half Acre.
The Mighty Half Acre Beer Company, Balmoral.
This is a good one. Proper glassware.
Hey, we're on fire today. this is, I feel like, a throwback from them, right? Or just one of the ones that's kind of always been in their seasonal lineup. I see this, I remember seeing this for years.
Right. I saw this was canned mid-March, so it's kind of in that. Is that like the wet hopped beers? Is that around the time
you think October, right? Because that's it parallel with Oktoberfest is the wet hop season.
Oh, yeah. Whoops. I had that backwards.
But now March to like May is like the Maibock season.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's always changing. So
7.8% beer hit me kind of hard here. but yeah, this is a very tasty beer. I feel like coming in March, like just a aggressive, not aggressive is the wrong word because it's not aggressive, but just a big IPA is kind
of
nice.
They're doing a good job of hiding all 7.8. It almost, it's kind of got that candied citrus thing going, and it's at 8%, and it's not until you have, I'm just going to keep going back to the pass the mic from Goose and Microphone.
Okay.
It's not until you have a beer that's 8% and you taste every bit of the 8% and it's boozy that you can really appreciate, oh, okay, these guys, they got some sorcery going on because they hid. It doesn't taste like 8% at all.
Right. It has those, like you said, candy notes, but those hazy flavors that maybe hide some of that alcohol.
Yeah, and it's a little thicker, a fuller malt character. Like, yeah. It's a fuller beer.
Yeah. And it kind of looks a little on the hazy side. It's not, I think IPA often think bitter, aggressive, and this is just kind of like just a big IPA.
Yeah, IPA with Citra. I tend to like a lot of their pails and a lot of their IPAs over at the old Half Acre. I think they figured things out over there.
Yeah. You think they, besides the food?
That's a one gap. You know, it's funny because we were talking last week about best brew pubs. And
oh, yeah. We did come up with the list post-episodes. If you listen to last week's episode and you're back and you yelled at us or left a comment,
yeah,
we got our top five.
We started riffing. I don't know if it's in a particular order, but I think our goal was to just weed out, whittle it down to five,
right?
And the reason we started coming up with this list was because for as much as we love Half Acre, we've never really been on the same page with their food. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, what are the five best breweries in the city?
And we got, you know, we're looking at Ravinia, you know, there's Adam Street, Aris, Old Irving. I think we ran through everyone a good times.
yeah, everybody. I think we did.
Crushed by Giants. And do you have the list or do we have to?
I thought I had the list, Brad, but you know.
If I remember correctly, we had Bishi.
Yeah, we did have Bishi.
Old Irving.
Yeah.
Then.
We said, Cruz Blanca was up there.
Cruz Blanca.
And we said Goose and.
Goose Salt Shed.
And I think we said Guinness.
And Guinness. Those are our five. Things like Haymarket and Ravinia are just kind of outside those five.
What about. I think the best break. Well, let's start here, right? Going back to the Half Acre comment, there are some dual threat places where you can get really good, you have a good food and beer experience.
Right.
But you could argue against every brew pub in the top 10 as to why you wouldn't put it in the top 10, pretty much. Yeah. Like, I think Middlebrow is a top 10, but on the strength of their breakfast.
Right, like, but they don't have great beer.
I don't really care for the pizza or
Right. So when we looked at the
and they've been drinking a lot of wine lately.
True.
But
so when we looked at the top five brew pubs, we said they had to have great food and great beer, and that's why, you know, Bishi coming at you with great food, and Pipeworks is brewing that beer now, so it's way better than it ever was. Guinness, that beer is.
It's a destination brewery. I think the argument against Guinness is
it's not Chicago.
It's not a Chicago brewery, and they do make their own beers because Guinness is not a beer; it's a brewery. That's what they love to tell you. But you're not going there for, you know, the fruited sour or the IPA. I mean, you're going for the stout, and they don't make stout here. They make the stout at St. James Gate.
Sure.
And the argument could be like, hey, there's other places around town where you can go get a Guinness and a very nice fish and chips. Mm-hmm. So why would you go there? But Guinness is a destination in every sense of the word. So yeah. I think it gets points for that, even though they're not making the stout there, and you can get that experience other places.
Uh-huh.
So, because, yeah, I was looking at the list, and I'm like, well, this is going to vary. Some people are going to say, fuck you, it's Forbidden Root. Some people are going to say Haymarket should be in the top five.
Some people say Peace.
You know, some people are loyal to Peace, you know. And we've all had great experience at those places.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I was picking out five today, I think those would be the five. Yeah.
Right. Cruz Blanca delivers on beer and food. Service is lackluster.
It's got the highest potential. I've gone there. It's a Mexican joint. And my chips were fucked up. I'm like, how are my chips fucked up? And this is a Mexican joint. It's pissing me off.
Right.
But when it's good, I don't know if there's a better experience. When they're on their game.
And then Old Irving, there are times where you go in there and you're like, I'm not feeling the food today. Or I'm not feeling the beer today. But on a whole, you're usually like, they got Della and I got my burger.
And they got Beezer. They got the best pretzel, maybe. They got the best pretzel around, I think. Their pretzel's really good. And they do a good job of framing their food. Their photos of their food look really good.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I go and it's not the same experience when I have it, it always looks great on the internet.
Right.
Good points for that.
And then Goose, I wouldn't have included Clybourne on the top five.
No.
But I think the food is the experience is much better at the Salt Shed.
They nailed this Salt Shed thing. I feel like it feels more intimate because I think the focus is on the patio, and when you're inside, it feels like the right size. They got the Botra ceiling with the fucking light coming in from the top.
Right.
And then they stripped down their menu to just give you some really fun contemporary twist on American fare.
Right. And then so who Bishi, Guinness, Old Irving, Salt Shed.
Cruz Blanca.
And Cruz Blanca. So that's kind of where and why we got to those five. They had to be city proper. You know, there's other great ones outside on the edge.
It was funny. I got a buddy, and I'm bringing up this list. I'm like, yeah, me and Brad are talking about this list. And we're like, well, what's the best one in the suburbs? I'm like, oh, it's Phase 3 Elmhurst. It's not even close. And then I'm like, well, what's
Moore?
Moore is probably second, I guess, if you have to pick a second.
Yeah.
But her response was, number two is wherever Biker Dude's brewing. Wherever Biker Dude is grilling is the number two brew pub in the world.
Okay.
I thought that was funny.
That's pretty good, yeah. Let's see that. Damn. Speaking of that, you did go have the Biker Dude burger, right?
This was, we were talking about this list, and I'm like, you know, the stars align, and I'm like, I got a gap. I'm going to go to Naperville or Downers Grove and check out Goldfinger, my annual Goldfinger trip.
Was that Lombard?
Is
that Downers Grove? Or
that's DG.
Okay.
Yeah, that's DG. Every bit of an hour and a half, bud, from the town. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, fucking Downers Grove, Biker Dude, Goldfinger. Yeah.
That's an amazing combo right there.
It's as good as it gets, man. It really is. It was
double? You went double?
I went with the Stoner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Stoner. Okay.
I went with the Stoner. I went with the Triple. I didn't want to go Triple, but the Triple had the hot sauce and the Mercs. And, you know, I'm here for the Mercs.
Okay.
And at all times, I'm here for the Mercs. But yeah, it was great. You know, he hit you with the chips, you know?
The like 50-cent bag of Costco
chips. The ones you get from Costco. Yeah, you can get Fritos or, you know,
Cheetos
or
Cool Ranch.
Sour cream and onion or whatever the fuck, yeah. But the burger's a star of the show. When you compare his burger to some of these other crews, it's just stripped down and focused on bread, meat, cheese.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and that's, the simplicity of it. Like, I really like Secret Burger. It's a very busy burger, you know.
Okay.
It's got the fucking, you know, Thousand Island. It's got the poppy seed.
Lots of toppings.
It's got a lot going on. Pickles, all this kind of, I mean, it's good, but it's just very busy. This strips all that away and, like, listen, this is a proper fucking smash burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
What'd you drink at Goldfinger?
Yeah, shout out to Goldfinger. They have a collab on with Skeleton Key, which is in Woodridge. The collab was called Bavarian Breeze. So it's a Hefeweizen. Comes in a Weizen glass. The Weizen glass is has a very nice branding. It's kind of a combo of the two logos.
Oh, cool.
So it's the Goldfinger G with the Skeleton Key. And it's really, it's, you know, I think if you go by awards, when you're out there, you know, Whiskey Hill does very well at FOBAB, and so does Moore, actually. But I think the best brewery out there has got to be fucking Goldfinger.
Well,
I mean, for all these classic styles that they make, and for all the
over Sturry Shelter.
Was Batavia? Hello.
I mean, that's a little farther away. Over Monkey Business. What's
we don't even know their name. I'm going Goldfinger over them for sure. Are you talking about Brothership?
Brothership.
This motherfucker said Monkey Business. That's pretty good. It's Beer Haze Astronauts episode of the show. But yeah, these styles are simple, but they're so fucking good.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like, so I'm drinking on a Heller Bock, which I looked it up. It's just a Maybach.
Okay.
But it's a Helles Bock. So, I don't know. How do you describe it? It's, first of all, 7%. And then, you know, not everybody's making a Maybach. Let's start there, even though it's spring. You know, I think Crystal Lake has one. Not a ton of Maybachs out there. Mm. It's 7%. You know, it's fruity. But, you know, Noble hops have, like, a different kind of fruitiness than, like, a Citra or maybe even a Mosaic, right? It's fruity, but in that kind of old world way. And it's really good and completely different from the lager, the house lager, completely different from the Hef. You know, I'm just like, they just have really good beers and really good range on simple styles, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just a fun place, man. But yeah, fucking Dom's Grove.
Yeah. Damn, you know who would have a Maybach right now? Metro.
Really?
They'd probably have a Maybach on, right? Do they have a Maybach?
I'm trying to think of the name of it if they did. I remember Jetstream, their wheat ale, and I think the best beer they made was the one with the coffee that we like.
Whatever. Dovetail probably has one on.
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Just haven't been seeing them. So, yeah, it's a nice bridge, man. You know, it's like a little maltier, a little darker than a lager. It's not quite Oktoberfest. It's bigger and fruitier. And it's spring. So,
right.
Bring on the fucking spring beer. But if you're them, I mean, who's buying it is driving a lot of this shit, too.
Right.
So they got collabs on with Skeleton Key. And then you go to Skeleton Key, and Skeleton Key's got the same beer on
That's
it.
Cool.
And then their next collab is going to be with Bierstadt. That's the very popular lager brewery in Denver, Colorado, where they give you the huge slow pour with the huge creamy head.
Oh, okay.
They got a collab on with them.
Oh, that would be fun. Okay. I'll have to go out for that.
But, yeah. Yeah, once a year, man. Got to get to fucking Goldfinger.
Yeah, a lot of these spots, as we talk through, you know, over all these episodes, there are so many breweries, only so much time, and we only often make them once a year. We get to that spot, and then we talk about once a year we get to this other one. So that's how it works.
Yeah. So that was cool. I actually did make it to I just thought about it. I did go to Bishi for a round.
Oh, you did?
Okay. I was inspired by our list.
Did the beer, how would the...
You know, the beer, I think, is... the beer is fine, right? I think, but the food... It's a sushi bar now for some reason.
Okay.
So I'm sitting upstairs. Downstairs is closed. I'm sitting upstairs at Bishi. And Bishi upstairs looks completely different from downstairs. It kind of reminds you of like a hotel in on an island somewhere. It feels like...
Right, there's like a plant wall.
Yeah, it's like all white. And a bunch of sunlight. It's very cool. But yeah, so I got the I got sushi and I got like a rice saison, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a very underrated brew pub experience. It does not feel like a brew pub.
Yeah.
The food is really good. The location is really good. They only got three beers.
Okay.
So take that for what it's worth.
They could, if they start to pull an Aris, they might get off our list. Do we have a replacement for Vichy?
In the top five? Well, I mean, you might go back to like an Old Faithful, right? You might go to, would you go Forbidden Root or Haymarket?
Ravinia?
You like Ravinia? You like Ravinia over Haymarket? Who's got the highest, who's got the highest potential between Haymarket and Ravinia? That, and that's right, that's how we cut the list down. Like at its apex, who offers a better experience? Haymarket or Ravinia?
Yeah, that's tough.
And that's what I'm saying. Right? Like that's how we gotta whittle down to five.
I think I'd have to go to each of them.
I'm using the word whittle a lot this episode.
The problem with Ravinia is you only get tacos.
Haymarket's kind of got you on the food. Ravinia has a rooftop.
It's just better bar food.
Right.
Right.
It's more options. It's fresh, and they care about it. I wouldn't say it's like.
Tacos are great.
I mean, we're not just because we picked one don't mean the other one sucks, right?
Right. So then you're on the beer.
Yeah.
And are you getting a better rounded beer at Haymarket or Ravinia?
If I go to Haymarket and they got Claire's Thirsty Ale on and they got Defender on and then they got Angry Birds on, Haymarket's going to win.
Okay.
But if I go to Ravinia and they got, I really love their Oktoberfest. I really love their Slow Pour Pills. Mm-hmm. Steep Ravine IPA is good. They got some good options at the old Ravinia.
Right. Sit in a swing.
Sit in a swing, or you can sit on the rooftop. You can't do none of that at fucking.
You got some outdoor at Haymarket.
Oh, you can sit on the side. You got sidewalk seating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would give the slight edge to Haymarket, but if people say Ravinia, then, you know, I'm not mad at that. But I would probably give Haymarket the edge over Ravinia. But, I mean, this is, we could fuss over this all day, right? Because there's something good about all of them.
That's true. The only spot I hit up this past week was Alarmist. I think I went there 2 weeks in a row now. So, but I went back because they had a lime lager that they collabed with a tattoo artist.
That's so weird, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird sentence. But Floyd collaborates with bands all the time.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I know about some of these bands. Like, I Hate God. There's a beer with them.
It's got a cool label, cool design. The beer's tasty. I like it. Maeve did not like it because she's like, I'm just drinking a Corona with lime. I'm like, yeah, this is great.
What's wrong with that?
That's what I want.
Sometimes that's... We were literally just saying this. Like, we were literally just saying this.
I love it. Every moment of this, my beer just tastes like lime.
I mean, you know, yeah. What's wrong with that?
So that's great. And I recommend, you know, if you do like lime in your beer, then this beer is great and you should go get it because it feels like a summer beer.
Yeah, if we're doing a list of underrated breweries, Sketchbook, Hopewell, Alarmist.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. All they do is make good beer.
Yeah. And they usually have pop-ups now with some food truck people or something there. So you just get something to eat. Otherwise, there's Jersey Mike's across the street.
I saw Danny DeVito on a Jersey Mike's ad on the fucking highway coming back in from so Thomas Road.
Danny DeVito being in Jersey Mike's ad does not make me want to eat there. It makes me question my reason for getting Jersey Mike's.
And like, if it's not for a slice, it's not Jersey Mike's. I'm like, I mean, it's still a deli. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know. It's funny, though, because I'm like, hey, it's Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito, on Always Sunny, I've seen you eat out trash cans and dumpsters. Telling me to eat at Jersey Mike's? I don't know about this.
Danny DeVito.
Did you make it anywhere else?
Shout out to Face. It's all coming back to me now because I either take pictures or I don't like the pictures, so I don't post it. Shout out to Phase 3. They had their 5th anniversary stout on. And if you're coming back to the city, if you're at Skeleton Key, you got to pass P3 to get home. Mm-hmm. So to the northwest side anyway.
Okay.
Shout out to Phase 3. I went there just for the stout.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a 5-year stout for Phase 3, aged 4 years in bourbon cask, Brad. Mm. This sounds ridiculous. You could put a bourbon in cask for 4 years, and, you know, it'll be fine. But beers for 4 years, like, I thought this was going to suck, actually.
And it didn't?
It was actually very good. They're just doing a really good job of blending over there.
Okay.
So they had two versions of this beer. The version that they bottled was the five-year version. It was 4 years in bourbon cask. It's a malt bill of oat and rye. You got a dog?
No, that's outside.
You might have your dog outside. Okay, it's a malt bill of oats and rye, aged for 4 years in bourbon cask, and then they finish it on vanilla.
Mm.
So vanilla beans from Papua New Guinea and from Madagascar.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And then they have another version where they take the same beer and they just throw it in rum bills for 3 months.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I feel like they have vanilla, but the rum, I feel like.
I was really surprised at how good the rum was. I was leaning towards the rum. Something about these vanillas that they picked. You know how, like, for me, vanilla falls in three categories, right? Like, it'd be leathery and spicy. It can be fruity, right? Like, some of the Goose vanillas that just come off like fruit. And then sometimes it can be confectionery, like it could taste like a birthday cake, almost like a fake vanilla.
Right.
Sometimes vanilla tastes like that.
That's often where I am. Either, like, if it's too much, it could be fake. You're like, I don't like that flavor. Like,
I don't like the flavor of Jewel Osco sheet cake vanilla. I don't like that. Right. Because some people, like, who's a crew in Oklahoma? Prairie Bomb. They would make beers like that all the time.
Right.
Big, sweet, fucking grocery store cake.
Didn't they have a birthday cake one?
Right. Yeah, they probably maybe had a birthday cake one. I don't like that one. Oh, but this one was just like, it was pretty good, and it was complex with the fruity and the spicy vanilla led with those. So it was great, man. 3 ounces is all you need. It's 19%. Sure. We're talking about the sorcery on this 8% beer. That's another beer where it's 19%, but it's done so well. You know? I was just like, fuck, I want this. I don't want this to be as good as it is. Okay. This is really good. Yeah, it's on, and you can only get 3 ounces. You can only serve you one. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so everybody can try it.
Okay.
And I think if you're in their ambassador program, the bottles they used to give you used to be the big 750s or 765, you know, the big bombers, and they shrunk those down to 375s.
Shrinkflation.
But everybody gets to try it too, man. You know, I was like, I'm glad, because I don't need a whole bottle of this.
No,
just give me the $7 for the $3, 3 ounces for the seven. That's all you need.
That's cool. That reminds me. I also had like a blend. I had this Kaleidoscope Cuvée from Goose Island. My uncle had a bottle of it. I'd never seen this before.
Yeah. It kind of came and went on the Ozanar.
And there's not a ton of details about it, but it's in the same barrels as Bourbon County is used, or it's like a mix of Bourbon County barrels. They call it a barrel-aged ale, which kind of... Not knowing what that is, like it could be, there could be some barley wine, there could be some Bourbon County in that. We'd probably have to get someone from Goose.
Could be a Scotch ale.
To tell us like a little more about it, it
could be an old ale.
It was wonderful. It tasted very similar to what a Bourbon County would taste like, or what you almost want Bourbon County to taste like. It had all those like feelings. You're just like, oh, this brings me back. It brings me like memory flood of like, oh yeah, this is what I'm missing or forgetting.
So sound like one of the better Bourbon Counties that you've had. Because they're all, some are thin, you know, some are just weird, like Isaac's, like Sir Newton. So it's like one of the better Bourbon Counties.
So, yeah, it was nice. And if I would have known that when we were, like, getting stuff to go at Salt Shed, I picked up that Berry beer.
The six pack or whatever.
Yeah, I think the Kaleidoscope might have been there.
I think you're right, because they had some fucking heat in that thing.
So
I left super early because I wanted to get the heat from the cooler.
So I should have got something like that instead of.
But you didn't know.
Kettle sour or fruited sour. What was I doing? Take anything you want. I'll take this Honker's Ale, please.
Yeah, shout out to Goose, man. They really took care of people at the launch party. Mm-hmm. That was a good launch party.
Cool. Any other spots or anything else we should mention?
I think that's it, man.
Okay. So last week we were talking about Lagunitas, and then you saw a tweet, a truth social.
There was a story floating around about, there was a lot of, think pieces on the demise of Lagunitas, and we've talked about the scale and how big they are and all that kind of shit. But I think what went under the radar was that, Heineken has owned them for a few years now, and they were brewing Newcastle Brown Ale exclusively out of Chicago.
Okay.
And this was a dead brand, right? So to put it in numbers, they talked about the cliff that it fell off of. So to give you some perspective, in 2018, Heineken's Newcastle sold almost 1 million cases in retail. And then by 2023, that number went from 1 million all the way down to 80,000. So I think it kind of just put the demise in the hyperdrive when Lagunitas as a brand wasn't selling as much. And then to make up for that capacity, they started doing Newcastle. And Newcastle, a million case brand, wasn't selling either. So,
do you think you would have? I don't even know the last time I've had a Newcastle. Would you have had a Newcastle if Lagunitas Tap Room had Newcastle?
That's interesting. I think if you
like a Newcastle brewed at Lagunitas at the brewery, you've been like, well, I never had fresh Newcastle, and it's different from the 8 IPAs they have on.
It's like a brown lager that's kind of nut forward in flavor, right? I mean, maybe. So, you know who's really good at this? I was playing with your Brad, got these really cool A.B. Stein on the desk here. And I was playing with that. And it reminded me of how A.B. does really cool lagers just for St. Louis. And there's a bar in St. Louis called Faust. And they do a really cool dark lager for Faust. And then, and his beer is really fucking good, man. It's like, it's so good you forget that AB's a brewery. You forget that they're not just a marketing company. Like, they, if they want, they can make really good beer.
Sure.
So if Newcastle, if they were doing a version of Newcastle for people who drink Lagunitas, I think that'd have been a great exposure, a good crossover opportunity for Lagunitas and Newcastle.
Yeah, I think Heineken didn't take advantage of that tap room, be it in Chicago. Just not that you needed to sell Lagunitas drinkers on craft beer, but to be like, hey, we got this version of Heineken, this version of Newcastle. We brew here. We tried it with different hops. We put walnuts instead of, we just made it a little different.
Give us a, this is what Guinness would do. If you go to Guinness, they have an experimental brewery around the corner from their main brewery. When you go to Dublin, this is what AB would do if you go to one of these little AB outreach trips.
Yeah.
Right? They all try to show you behind the curtain. Hey, we're not just, Heineken should be trying to show us we're not just the pale lager in the green bottle, that we're a full brewery and this is all the cool shit we can do.
Yeah.
And you could put that shit right next to the Lagunitas shit. And honestly, man, I would go for that.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't want to do that because the craft beer drinker didn't want to support the macro breweries. But then Lagunitas is a macro brewery. You're there. I think the craft beer drinker is just more interested in trying new stuff or trying stuff they haven't had in a long time. It's like we were talking about Corona or Pacifico. It's like, yeah, I'll have one of those. It's not like, get away from me, Miller Lite.
I could be wrong here. But nobody's journey started exclusively with craft. Everybody, whether it's Red Stripe or Corona or High Life or whatever the fuck, Miller Genuine Draft, whatever the fuck.
I think there's a profile picture of me on some social medias of me drinking a Red Stripe.
See? No, nobody's journey started with craft. So I think this is all Heineken's fault that this fucked up. Because I would love, we were talking about Metro maybe in the pre-show. Doug's argument always was like, hey, by the time you get those beers, those lagers from overseas, they're a shell of themselves by the time they get here. So let's make fresh, European styles here. Yeah. So, if that's the belief in the brewing world, then shit, make a batch of Heineken, make a pale lager just for us.
Right. Cause I think when I was in Amsterdam, I did have the Heineken there on tap.
Yeah.
That's something people talk about. I didn't necessarily notice that big of a difference. It's kind of the same shit. Yeah, no. Like you'd have to have them probably side by side.
Okay.
To really be able to tell, yeah. Or I wasn't drinking enough of one but or the
least,
other.
At least the intent would be there. You know, Pilsner Urquell does this when they, once a year, they ship it over.
Sure.
You know, super fresh Pilsner Urquell, we put on a plane, it's 3 days old, whatever the fuck. At least they are trying. These other big crews are at least trying to bring you into the big macro experience.
Right, and even Guinness does this where they train these people how to pour a proper Guinness pint. There's places that do it better than other places.
Yeah, it could minimally be presentation. It could have been, you could have said, fuck the sales room. The room where you're selling all the merch. The store.
Yeah.
Fuck the store and just have a little Heineken Innovation Center. A Heineken Welcome Center, whatever. And just give us a small Heineken experience.
Yeah.
Because you're like, people like new. People like new, and not everyone's experience started with craft, so I think people would have got busy and then Heineken.
Mm-hmm.
People would have been accepting of it.
And the idea of Heineken and that being at a brewery where it's tough to get to. And yeah. Lagunitas didn't offer a lot of beers that were low ABV beers. You got Heineken on at the, what is it, like 3.8 or 4.2 or something.
And according to BA, Heineken is the fourth largest brewer on the planet. It's a more known brand than Liney. I'm sorry, Lagunitas. Heineken's more known than Lagunitas, so why wouldn't you? The crossover aspect of it would have been way cooler than just closing it.
Yeah.
Or just making New Hill. It's a fucking Newcastle. Or just saying, oh, Newcastle was our attempt, so fuck it. I don't know. It seems like a missed opportunity.
Right. I don't know if people don't listen to us.
If they did, we'd have beer in the glass. We'd have an event, a good event at the United Center. There's a ton of good ideas come out of this show.
It's even better when we got high ABB IPAs going on. So,
dude, this beer's really good, man.
A couple events, a couple birthdays before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Weiner turning 8.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the good folks at Weiner. They are turning 8. On June 15th, so they are going to party. There's going to be a bunch of stuff, including a market and an L Tub release for the summer version of L Tub.
And a drag show.
And there's going to be a birthday drag show.
Okay.
And that's on the 15th. And also the good folks at Maplewood. The Maplewood Lounge is partying on the 15th. It's their 10th anniversary.
Damn.
So they're bringing a lot of beers out of the vault. If I'm a betting man, I'd say they probably block off the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably my favorite brewery location wise, because it's at a dead end on a residential block, and then you just drink in the middle of the street and
right.
in the alley.
What day is this 10th birthday?
This is next Saturday, the 15th. That's gonna be a good hang, man.
We should probably go over there. We went over there for Oktoberfest with the pig roast. It's not that far to get to, really, for both of us.
You know, you ain't gotta ask me twice if I want to go to Maplewood.
You know, all right, so we'll probably be there on the 15th.
Yeah. So, those are the two I saw. Shout out to Alice Off Color. We missed the Mousetraps anniversary. I think they turned 11.
Okay.
I'd have missed that, but that's another crew that just makes good beer.
Right.
I think Beer for Tacos is sublime, just fantastic stuff.
If they just added some food, they could break our top 5 here.
Oh, easy. Somebody's gone out of 5.
Easy, something's out.
Quick.
All right, that's gonna do it. We'll be back with another episode really soon. Take care.
Cheers.